will not disobey. But the king replied, "Let our generals cease drilling and return to camp. As for us, we have no wish to come down and inspect the troops." Thereupon Sun Tzu said, "The king is only fond of words and cannot translate them into deeds." After that, Ho Lu saw that Sun Tzu was one who knew how to handle an army and finally appointed him general. In the west, he defeated the Chu state and forced his way into Ying, the capital. To the north, he put fear into the states of Qi and Qin and spread his fame abroad amongst the feudal princes. And Sun Tzu shared in the might of the king. About Sun Tzu himself, this is all that Sima Qian has to tell us in this chapter. But he proceeds to give a biography of his descendant, Sun Pin, born about 100 years after his famous ancestor's death, and also the outstanding military genius of his time. The historian speaks of him too as Sun Tzu, and in his preface we read, "Sun Tzu had his feet cut off and yet continued to discuss the art of war. It seems likely then that Pin was a nickname bestowed on him after his mutilation, unless the story was invented in order to account for the name. The crowning incident of his career, the crushing defeat of his treacherous rival Peng Chan, will be found briefly related in Chapter 10. To return to the elder Sun Tzu, he is mentioned in two other passages of the Shi Qi. This is the latest date at which anything is recorded of Sun Wu. He does not appear to have survived his patron, who died from the effects of a wound in 496. It is obvious enough that Sima Qian, at least, had no doubt about the reality of Sun Wu as an historical personage, and with one exception to be noticed presently, he is by far the most important authority on the period in question. It will not be necessary, therefore, to say much of such a work as the Wu Yu Chun Chu, which is supposed to have been written by Chao Ye of the 1st century AD. The attribution is somewhat doubtful, but even if it were otherwise, his account would be of little value. Based as it is on the Shi Qi and expanded with romantic details. The story of Sun Tzu will be found, for what it is worth, in Chapter 2. The only new points in it worth noting are 1. Sun Tzu was first recommended to Ho Lu by Wu Zhu Su. 2. He is called a native of Wu. 3. He had previously lived a retired life, and his contemporaries were unaware of his ability. The following passage occurs in the Huainan Zhu. "When sovereign and ministers show perversity of mind, it is impossible even for a Sun Tzu to encounter the foe." Assuming that this work is genuine, and hitherto no doubt has been cast upon it, we have here the earliest direct reference for Sun Tzu, for Huainan Zhu died in 122 BC, many years before the Shi Qi was given to the world. Lu Xiang, 80 to 9 BC, says, "The reason why Sun Tzu, at the head of 30,000 men, beat Chu with 200,000 is that the latter were undisciplined." Tang Ming Shi informs us that the surname Sun was bestowed on Sun Wu's grandfather by Duke Qing of Qi, 547 to 490 BC. Sun Wu's father, Sun Ping, rose to be a minister of state in Qi, and Sun Wu himself, whose style was Cheng Qing, fled to Wu on account of the rebellion which was being fomented by the kindred of Tian Pao. He had 3 sons, of whom the second, named Ming, was the father of Sun Pin. According to this account, then, Pin was the grandson of Wu, which, considering that Sun Pin's victory over Wei was gained in 341 BC, may be dismissed as chronologically impossible. Whence these data were obtained by Tang Ming Shi, I do not know. But of course, no reliance whatever can be placed in them. An interesting document which has survived from the close of the Han period is the short preface written by the great Cao Cao, or Wei Wu Ti, for his edition of Sun Tzu.